news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
A couple years ago, I was in the bathroom at the airport when I dropped my smartphone in the toilet. Not smart. I was multitasking when I should have been focused on the job at hand. Embarrassing, but I'm not alone. According to Google, 7 million other multitaskers accidentally dropped their phones into the bowl last year. A gentle reminder that right now you can get yourself a brand new Samsung Galaxy A36 absolutely free with a $35 plan from Pure Talk. The A36 comes with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that'll last all day, along with unlimited talk, text, and data on America's most dependable 5G network. In other words, it's tough and smart. Something to think about next time you're multitasking in the necessary. Just dial #250, say keyword micro to get your free phone today. You can make the switch in just 10 minutes. That's #250. Say micro to switch to a no-nonsense smartphone and a company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. announced it's walked away from talks today in Qatar for a Gaza ceasefire deal, blaming Hamas for not acting in good faith. It comes as aid groups are warning of severe hunger across all levels of Gaza. Here's ABC's Patrick Reeval.
Hamas overnight had submitted its latest response to the U.S. and Israel's proposal for a ceasefire. I think it's likely that the sticking points ultimately remain the same, which so far have always had to do with Israel's what presence Israel will have in Gaza during the ceasefire, and in particular, guarantees that this will be a permanent end to the war. You know, Prime Minister Netanyahu has made clear that he has no intention of giving that guarantee.
A meeting taking place today between Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche and Jeffrey Epstein's co-conspirator Glenn Maxwell and attorneys in Tallahassee, Florida. And fans of World Wrestling Entertainment legend Hulk Hogan are mourning his death. Hulk Hogan was 71. This is ABC News. A day after a judge sentenced Brian Koberger to four consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole, police say they still don't have a motive in the murders of four University of Idaho students. ABC's Alex Stone is in Boise and has the latest on where Koberger may serve his sentence.
Now he's being handed over to Idaho's Department of Corrections, and that happened overnight. We now know that he is no longer in the custody of Ada County, at the Ada County Jail. That he's been handed over to the state to head to prison. But what prison he's going to go to, we don't know yet. They've got to do an assessment on him and then figure out where the best fit for Brian Koberger would be. The most likely place that he will go is the one maximum security prison in this state.
Music performer and composer Chuck Mangione has died. A master of the flugelhorn and trumpet, Mangione's smooth jazz sounds of the 70s included his hits Feels So Good. Mangione was 84. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin.
The body of a missing La Crosse woman has been recovered.
The La Crosse Police Department was informed by the Houston County Sheriff's Office in Minnesota that the body of 22-year-old Elliot Hines was found Wednesday morning in the Mississippi River near Brownsville, Minnesota. That's about 15 miles downriver from La Crosse. Research had been underway since the Viterbo University graduate student went missing early Sunday morning. Police are still investigating and are waiting on results of an autopsy for an official cause of death. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Senator Tammy Baldwin proposes legislation to address child care costs.
The Wisconsin Democrat says the Child Care for Working Families Act will address what she calls the broken equation in the child care sector.
The marketplace, the free marketplace, is not working for workers who are often underpaid or families who are being forced to pay through the roof.
Baldwin was joined on a media call by Heather Murray, who operates a group child care center in Wanakee.
It keeps getting harder and harder to provide quality child care that children deserve.
The bill is one Baldwin has introduced since 2017 and one of three bills which she says could lower costs for Wisconsin families if they get support from Republicans. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A legendary Western Wisconsin home will receive state funding for upkeep. The recently passed Wisconsin state budget allocates $5 million to the nonprofit preserving famed architect Frank Lloyd Wright's Taliesin home and studio near Spring Green. Wright lived at the 800-acre estate for nearly 50 years and designed many of his most famous works there. About 30,000 guests visit Taliesin annually, bringing in about $4 million to the local economy. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Through the afternoon, hazy sunshine from a little smoke, still pretty humid, highs in the mid-80s. Mostly clear tonight, areas of fog late, lows to the mid-60s. And again, mid-80s tomorrow, a little more sunshine. Rain chances return this weekend. Looking for a great place to live, shop, stay, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. It's 82 right now.
Produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA. Good to have you with us for another episode of Agriculture of America as we take a look at issues impacting farming, ranching, and across rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on the show today, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Jacob Burks from agmarket.net. In segment two, we're going to discuss a new joint sustainability report out from the Farm Credit Services of America, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Frontier Farm Credit, looking at those interested in the adoption of sustainable agricultural practices. We're going to learn more about this report from Dr. Mariah Johnson, VP of Sustainability for those three associations. She'll join us in segment two. In segment three, we're going to learn about a new organization, Renewable Energy Farmers of America. Their executive director, Jeff Risley, will join us for that conversation. And then we're going to close out the show. We're going to get an update on the latest news from the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol with program manager Tillman White. So a lot to get to here today on AOA. Let's kick it off and talk markets. Jacob Burks with agmarket.net is with us. And Jacob, good to talk with you again. Pretty quiet grain and oilseed trade on Thursday. And, you know, all week long, we've had trade deal frameworks announced and more. And it just nothing seems to be moving the needle in these grain markets right now.
No, as a matter of fact, the needle looked like it was stuck yesterday, Jesse. When you look at, I think it's yesterday was the worst or the lightest volume that we've seen in several months on a one-day perspective. And so it's just, you know, the trade is just quiet right now. There's, you know, obviously not a lot of farmer movement. We're not seeing a lot of interest with stories. I mean, you got a weather market out there that is not generating a lot of fear in the market. So from a supply side of things, we don't have that need or that attempt by the market to ration out some of this demand. So instantly the stories that went over to more of the demand side of things. And, you know, when you see some announcements come out, like we saw this morning, that China has bought corn and we're not doing a whole lot, it makes you wonder. And now the rumor mill is starting about that that's even true. So,
yeah, well, and to your point there, it just seems like even with export news, exports, I mean, corn especially, pulled back a little bit here the last several weeks, but it's still been very good throughout this marketing year. I mean, these trade deals, not a lot of details there. It just seems like nothing is bullish enough to get us out of this kind of bearish feedback loop, so to speak, in the grain trade, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, and look where the weather is good. Weather's good across the major producing states of corn and soybeans. And so when you hear some of the stories in the periphery that it might be a little bit, you know, have some dry problems, and it's not perfect everywhere. We understand it. But for the general concept, we're seeing more and more of these, whether you're looking at conditions ratings to imply what the final yield could be. I mean, we're seeing 3 and 4 bushels above the 181 that we're pushing now. So some things, you know, it could be well above the trend line. That's where the projections are now. We understand that last year we saw a very dry August. And when it came down to the January report and that final plant numbers, we took 4 bushels away. So we understand that it still has to finish. The crop has to finish, but the supply is not the problem. Then you look over into the trade deals of what we're seeing with Indonesia, with Japan. It's encouraging. It's positive. It's finally looking at maybe these the tariff situation will create the slip of the pen, you know, that puts us on a demand situation that looks very optimistic going forward for maybe long term, but it doesn't spell out a whole lot of just specific corn, literal specific beans, like we saw in the first presidency.
And it's going to be interesting to see where this all goes. And, you know, I think for the most part, the trade, it's just going to be driven by this weather moving forward. We're going to start to see some of these boots on the ground type of crop tours and more. You know, NDVI satellite data is going to start showing up here into the month of August. And, you know, one has to wonder if we'll see anything there, but time will tell. And to your point right now, farmers not doing much, but hopefully they don't get complacent with their risk management, Jacob.
Oh, I do think that's you know, one of the big misnomers that we've talked with a lot of guys here in the last couple of weeks is, you know, where the crop insurance, how this revenue protection protects you, and do we have any more risk from here? Depending on what type of coverage is, that's all over the board. But I have to look at this and say, if we produce the 183s and above, and you look at the demand not growing that much more, but we don't stay above 4. Let's just put it that way. And so there's still some risk here available. I think you can really do some things to put yourself in a position where let's minimize the downward pressure, but then let's leave some of that top side open. And that's what I think a producer should do right now. Hopefully they've got some sold. Hopefully we've got some of this taken care of. But in essence, there's still risk. You're still looking, you got to look at your operation individually. If you're producing more bushels, you still have bushels to sell. Those bushels still have some risk to the downside.
We're talking with Jacob Burks from AgMarket.net. A couple minutes here. Let's talk livestock. Cattle futures down a little bit early Thursday in the trade. I know coming up Friday, we got the cattle on feed report and the return of the July cattle inventory report after the close. And I think a lot of traders are spending this week kind of positioning ahead of what those reports might tell us.
Yeah, I think that the reports, I mean, those are always looked. It seems like we rarely miss exactly what those are. I mean, the estimates have been very, very good over the last year, several years of what we're going to see on a monthly basis. That usually should entail into these semi-annual or the annual reports. So those estimates, any type of variance from that. But I think what we're seeing is we know there's less cattle. We know that this heifer retention has been real. And I think the biggest thing to look at is what the slaughter rates have done. I mean, we saw a little slaughter back up a little bit here this week. That was due to plants down. I think that's something that we could probably affect, or maybe even have that to be the first sign of pressure. That results in what we're doing in the box beef as well. So, when it's all said and done, we have a great, great opportunity. We're still in the middle of a bull spread. I mean, is $2 lower even lower anymore? I mean, we're seeing big, wide swings in the feeder cattle. And I think that's something that – from a technical perspective, we haven't traded through that 10-day moving average for a while, and that's kind of that first line of support for us here, and so that's what I would be focused on.
How about that hog complex? I know you watched that too. I mean, August hogs up at 108 and then October at 90, so definitely a pretty wide spread there. I mean, any thoughts for you on the hog side of the protein complex?
You know, honestly, the recovery that we've seen over the last little bit in the hogs has been, you know, very encouraging. I think we, especially in that front month, and you know, that we're watching, you know, what these cutouts are doing. We've seen a little bit of pullback with some recovery, so some very big choppiness even in the cutout prices. And so I think that as you go forward with this hog market, we did stem a pretty good V bottom, and we've got a pretty good rally going. I think that the overhead resistance in the deferred months are you know, there. I think that we should probably look at down the road pricing. I mean, there's a lot of good tools out there beyond futures and options with the LRP too. So I do think that there's risk above us here. And I think that it could come, you know, still, you know, we go back to this every time, is the demand side of the picture. I mean, we know what the supply is pretty, we have a pretty good handle on that. But as we go forward, are we going to be able to continue some of these exports? And we're pretty dependent on some of the exports of these pork products.
Always remember that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. With that, Jacob Burks, agmarket.net. Always appreciate the conversation. Jacob, thanks for joining us on AOA.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jesse. Appreciate it.
And you can find more about them and reach out at agmarket.net. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Dr. Mariah Johnson with Farm Credit Services of America, Ag Country, and Farm Frontier Farm Credit here on AOA.
Cats are masters at using up their 9 lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And a
as we continue here on AOA, well, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Farm Credit Services of America, and Frontier Farm Credit have recently released a joint sustainability report along with a survey looking at producers' adoption of sustainable agricultural practices and looking at some of the barriers that they might have to adopting some of those practices. We're going to talk about all of this and have a conversation about it. Joining us right now, she is VP of Sustainability for the Collaborating Associations of Farm Credit Services of America, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Frontier Farm Credit. Dr. Mariah Johnson is with us here today on AOA. Mariah, it is great to talk with you. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on this morning, Jesse.
Can we just start? Can you give us a little bit of background on this joint sustainability report? And we can look at the survey aspect of this as well. But can you give us just a little bit of background for our listeners to start?
Sure. These three collaborating associations, this is the third sustainability report that they have put out. And each year it is morphed and changed a little bit. But always in this, we want to highlight the great sustainability work that is being done by our farm credit customers and really showcase that to partners across the nation, but also work to bring in and have new information that is useful for folks on farm as well, be a part of our report.
Well, I know with the report side, a lot of different resources here for folks to try and make sound decisions when it comes to adopting some of these sustainable agricultural practices. If I'm understanding this correctly, talk about that a little bit more for us.
Sure. So, you know, as I've been in my role and work in sustainability and interface with people across the industry, a topic that kept coming up was barriers to adoption of sustainability or sustainability practices or activities. And one that they said finance, that's a barrier. But yet we didn't have much granularity around what was meant by financial barriers. So we embarked on doing a survey with 300 producers, that was our customers as well as non-customers, across a 15 different state area that had gross incomes ranging from $250,000 to $1,500 million, to ask them specifically, what are you doing in sustainability? What sort of things are you thinking about doing next? And also, what are your barriers in moving forward and adopting or continuing some of the things that you are doing in sustainability? And so having that information, it was a really rich report and great information and feedback that we got, because it helps us to understand where producers are at today, but also begins to help us as a financial institution identify where can we even be better and how can we be a better partner to our customers in the realm of sustainability.
From the survey aspect, what were some of the key findings that you found from producers? It seems, you know, I always think about this, our producers, they're the original stewards of the land. And I know a lot of them want to do many of these types of practices or already do many of these types of practices. But to your point, barriers, financial barriers, et cetera, are out there. So when you guys looked at what producers had to say, what were some of the key responses?
You know, you hit on a part that is absolutely fundamental to this. And even when we started our focused sustainability efforts, we recognized that from the beginning that this was not something that just started a couple of years ago. These producers that we work with have always known that their livelihoods depend on protecting their land for future generations. And so they have taken care of it. They have been sustainable. And so really sustainability today looks like modern agriculture. It's driven by innovation, it's driven by data and evolving technologies. So many of those key findings that we heard back was that many are heavily utilizing reduced tillage practices, 83% of them. 75% said that they were using precision equipment to boost efficiency and reduce waste. And 75% were using buffer strips and grassed waterways to reduce runoff and erosion. And so really many of those elements that are in place today are things that make good business sense. They reported that these things that they were engaging in had multiple benefits many times, like we talked about, it's boosting efficiency, it's reducing waste. In even other aspects where somebody might be putting in a cover crop, they're grazing that cover crop as well, looking for those multiple benefits. When we can find multiple benefits, that really helps drive that profitability aspect. It helps improve the return on that investment. And those are the sound business decisions that really help sustainability move forward. And that's where people are embracing it the most.
We're talking with Dr. Brian Johnson here today on AOA. And, you know, I wonder about this, too. You made the point that as collaborating organizations, you know, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, FCS America, Frontier Farm Credit, you guys kind of looking at some of this and wondering, you know, how you can better serve producers when it comes to sustainable ag practices. I mean, what did all of this data, what did these stories and more tell you guys, especially I consider right now there's a lot of talk about how the health of things are in farm country when it comes to the economics and more. So, you know, as collaborating organizations, what have you guys taken away from this to better serve producers?
A couple of different things. We've always felt that our role is really to help our customers understand the financial side of sustainable practices. We know that oftentimes that opportunities outpace that available data. And so it makes it hard to have those informed decisions. And that's why working with our financial officers, our insurance officers, who are up to speed on many of these things, they can help provide that information. And so we're looking at how can we help those officers be even better at doing that, at identifying what is the return on investment, how long will it take to be profitable, and what support is needed in the meantime. And if there is support needed in the meantime, helping to identify grants or other capital sources out there that can be paired with a loan to supplement that, to help bridge that gap or help improve that return on investment. And those top barriers to adoption that we heard from these producers, I already mentioned a couple of them: return on investment, payback period, and then certainty of outcomes. And so that, again, that's where working with that knowledgeable lender really makes a difference in helping producers navigate complex decisions. And so we really want to help drive that information for our customers so that they can make the best financial and profitable decision in sustainability, because that profitable element is a key element of sustainability. Sustainability doesn't happen without profitability.
Couple minutes here, Mariah. Was there any other impactful stories you maybe heard from producers when you guys put together this report and survey by chance?
Sustainability is something that is very nuanced and it's unique. And what works on one operation doesn't work on another operation. And so there were a couple of stories that really highlighted that element. So we have a producer that was in Iowa, and they were looking at installing solar panels and using funds from a grant program to be able to do that. So putting that grant and that loan together. When they ran the numbers and they calculated the time to pay back, it was just about a year. And that return on investment made sense. But in working with their financial officer, the financial officer said, "I've looked at doing the same thing, but because I live in a different county, have different utility rates, it doesn't pan out for me." So it's very, very local, even from county to county basis. And then there's even another couple of customers I've worked with. They're both out of Kansas. Great, innovative, very forward-thinking folks. One of them is all in on biologicals, right? And has been very passionate about it, using it, driving their soil organic matter for several years. And recently was just talking with the other customer and asked him, you know, "Do you use biologicals?" And the response was, "I have tried everything with biologicals and I can't get them to work on my farm. I'd love for you to come tell me what I'm doing wrong." And so those are just a couple of examples that really highlight this nature of sustainability is very personal, is very local. And so what makes sense in one spot doesn't always make sense in another. And so that's why you have to be very careful, you know, and really identify what it might mean for your operation and does it fit your goals.
Well, great insights, and I know we're going to share a link to this full report on our website. Folks can also go to fcsamerica.com. It's under the resources tab. You can click on sustainable agriculture for more. Really enjoyed the conversation here today. VP of Sustainability for the Collaborating Associations of Farm Credit Services of America, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Frontier Farm Credit, Dr. Mariah Johnson. Mariah, great to have you with us here on Agriculture of America, and have a great weekend. We will talk to you again hopefully in the future.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jesse.
Coming up next, we're going to keep the sustainable, renewable theme going here on today's AOA. We're going to learn about a new organization, Renewable Energy Farmers of America. Their executive director, Jeff Risley, will join us for a conversation coming up next on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Hey, it's Eli Wenders. Just a reminder, if you're feeling low, you're not alone. Life can get tough and we all need a hand sometimes. Don't be afraid to talk to someone, even if it's just to get things off your chest. You have to take care of yourself so you can take care of business. Remember, there's no shame in asking for help. You've got people who care about you. Reach out if you need to and check in on those you care about too. We're all in this together. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Agriculture is a busy job and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
It's never too early to think about next season. With Alcivia's Verity Input Financing, you can lock in crop inputs early, manage cash flow, and stay ready to act when opportunity knocks. Flexible, farmer-focused, and built to protect your operation from risk. Let's set you up for success in 2026. Visit Alcivia.com or call Alcivia today at 608-819-4401. 608-819-4401 and plan with confidence.
Milk markets for hire reporting from the Dunn County Fair. I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 15 to 17.25, September up 17 to 17.56, October up 9 to 18.12, November milk up 5 at 18.25. Triple digit losses in the live and feeder cattle markets. Box beef prices, while higher, the trade decided we want to see what happens with the cash markets here later on this week, even though asking prices so far have been firm. But there was a lot of profit taking and consolidation in the live and feeder cattle markets on the day. Hog markets, meanwhile, they closed mostly higher with the exception of the nearby month. But there's still strong overall demand, and that is helping with some of the deferred contracts on the day. August live cattle down $1.22 to $225.80. August feeder cattle down $2.62 to $328.90. And August hogs down 27 cents to $108.20. Chicago Board of Trade today, corn, soybeans, and wheat all were mostly higher. A lot of this was short covering, a lot of positioning, and really some consolidations as well in the grain markets. Now, some improving weekly export inspections reports for corn, helping the corn market. Also, a lot of consolidation really happening on the day in the markets. Now, new crop corn up 3.25 to 420 and three quarters. New crop beans up 1.5 to 1024 and a quarter, while September wheat up 1.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Experience the magic of the Wabasha County Fair July 30th through August 2nd at the fairgrounds in Wabasha. Enjoy the IMP Motocross July 30th at 7 p.m. and August 2nd at 5 p.m. Bull riding with Great Frontier is August 1st at 7 p.m. with music by the Chubbs following. Kids games and inflatables, great food, and
big races, too. It's a week of food, fun, and fantastic entertainment during the Wabasha County Fair, July 30th through August 2nd at the fairgrounds in Wabasha.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
As we continue here on AOA, one quick news note. Jacob Burks talked about this in the opening segment for markets. There was a report from USDA of a corn sale to China, but now USDA has said that has been confirmed incorrect. So some of those rumors out there in the trade just bears watching as we continue to take a look at this whole trade landscape and export sales and much more. But that corn sale to China confirmed incorrect by USDA a little while after they released their Thursday morning report. Let's segue over to learn about a new organization, the Renewable Energy Farmers of America. Joining us to tell us more about what their mission is and what they're looking to accomplish, he is their executive director, Jeff Risley, is with us here today. Jeff, it is good to talk with you, sir. Hope all is well.
Yeah, you too, Jesse. I really appreciate being on the show.
So give folks a bit of a background. I know this is a farmer-led nonprofit trade organization. Can you give us some details on Renewable Energy Farmers of America?
Yeah, absolutely. You're correct. We are a nonprofit, a 501c6 specifically, and we just launched this week. In fact, we've been working on it for a little over a year, but the whole mission of REFA is to help and empower these farmer and rancher landowners who are either already hosting large renewable energy projects or those that want to. We want to help them navigate a very complex process. You know, these are billion-dollar developments on your land, and you should have, you know, the opportunity to get really good information, to talk to other farmers that have been through it, to know the best, you know, potential leases that you can negotiate. All of these are things we want to help farmers and ranchers with through our services.
And you raised a great point. When it comes to a lot of these projects, Jeff, they're very complex, and sometimes there's not a ton of unbiased information out there, I would say, for farmers and ranchers. And I know that's what you guys are trying to provide, right?
That's exactly right. We did research with about 100 farmers last spring to test our idea. And one of the biggest things they asked for was just that, a trusted third party, you know, unbiased, nonpartisan, that can bring some truth to them in the language they, you know, are understanding, how it's going to impact my land, my farming operation. The other thing they really wanted was the ability to talk to other farmers and ranchers that have been through this. So part of what we'll do is peer-to-peer networking. They also told us, really help us with professional services. So we're going to offer non-legal lease reviews. We'll also be able to provide tax answers to tax questions. So obviously these leases provide money to the farmers and ranchers, so it can impact their income, could impact their business practices. So these are the things that we want to provide to members, along with just a collective voice. I mean, we are grounded in private property rights. We want to make sure that farmers and ranchers have the opportunity to host these projects if they want to, and not be encumbered by policy that prevents that opportunity.
Well, and you bring up private property rights, and I know that's at the heart of so many conversations in rural America right now, Jeff. We've talked about it in numerous ways here on the show related to different things like government overreach or eminent domain, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to renewable energy projects, you know, to your point, a lot of landowners, sometimes they've maybe gotten taken advantage of in the past by some of these deals, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, making sure they protect their property, but also have opportunity to bring in another source of revenue, et cetera, with some of these projects is really key, I think, for a lot of producers in rural America.
Well, of course. I mean, 90% of these large renewable energy projects are going to be on private ground, and most of that is ag land or ranch land. And so, you know, America's farmers and ranchers are really supporting renewable energy developments because of that. But they don't hold all the cards. The developers do. And the majority of developers I have dealt with are good. They're good people. They want to do right by everybody in the community. But of course, you know, there are at times problems. And what we want to try to be is a bridge between the landowners and the developers. Now, developers can't be members of our organizations. Only landowners can. So that's who we serve. But we want to make sure that the developers and the landowners can, you know, understand each other, and we can help serve in that facilitation position. So yes, you're absolutely right.
We're having a conversation with Jeff Risley. He is the executive director of the newly launched nonprofit Renewable Energy Farmers of America. You know, Jeff, when you talked with producers as you guys were developing REFA and getting ready to launch and more, what were some of the common challenges or misconceptions? What did you hear from farmers and ranchers, you know, across the country on the ground with some of the headwinds they've faced in dealing with some of these noble energy projects?
Yeah, great question. So one of those challenges is just the permitting process. And of course, most permitting is local in most states across the country. So that permitting regime is different, you know, county to county. Some counties have very permissive and renewable friendly policies in place. Some have outright bans. And it complicates the process for a local farmer and rancher who really wants something on their property. One of our members, in fact, you know, had massive debt from healthcare problems. And this was going to save, you know, their family farm. But because of local ordinances and problems with getting a project approved, he wasn't able to take advantage of that. That's one of the things we've heard. We've also heard that, you know, the process is difficult. It takes a long time and it goes through multiple stages. So even after you get a lease signed, that doesn't mean the project's going to come about. So what the farmer doesn't necessarily have a lot of information in that vacuum. When construction happens, it's very disruptive to an operation. So we heard, hey, we want to know what to expect when these constructions start. And then what do we do at the end, the end of life of these projects, you know, 20 or 30 years, maybe 40. So, you know, questions and answers about decommissioning and repowering are all things we want to provide. And then lastly, the biggest thing we heard was we just don't know who to go to. You know, most nonprofits in the ag space really don't cover this. They don't have the technical expertise to answer a lot of these questions. So we wanted to be essentially the commodity association for the crop that is renewable energy, you know, wind, solar, storage, and high voltage transmission.
Well, it's an interesting conversation in general, and it's a complex one. It's been around for a while, but, you know, moving forward, Jeff, as you guys roll out REFA and you look to the next, you know, 5 years ahead, say, or the next 10 years, what are some of the key things that you want producers to know that you guys are going to be working for and advocating for here in the short term and the long term?
Yeah, good question. So in the short term, we're really thinking about how can we help the current hosts of renewable projects connect with those that are not yet hosting but are interested. So that's kind of our number one goal. And we're going to do that in a variety of ways. We've got a private online community that members can communicate and connect with each other. We'll do it formally through mentorship programs. We can even arrange for site visits so that farmers can visit, you know, an operation where there's a wind farm or a solar farm. So number one, we want to make these connections. Number two, we want to educate. I think the lack of really good, solid information in the marketplace that farmers can get access to, it's bad. So we want to be able to fill that void and educate through webinars or even if a member calls us up and asks any question, we have the ability to find that answer. And then I would say in after that, it's all about these professional services. We know that going through this process with a developer can be complicated, and it usually starts with a lease. So we want to be able to provide these non-legal lease reviews and advice to help them get started on the right foot. Now, long-term, what I would love to see in 5 years is thousands of members from across the country, you know, coming together at an annual meeting where developers are present and our members are present. And basically the division between those two groups has shrunk. The number of educated farmers and ranchers has increased because now they've learned through this process. And ultimately, I hope that we can help reverse the trend of local ordinances banning these opportunities. At the end of the day, farmers and ranchers get to choose what to put on their ground. And I know the community needs to be involved in that, but we want to help the farmer and rancher navigate that space.
Well, I know folks can go online, renewableenergyfarmers.org, to learn more. Great conversation, and I know we're going to have more in the future. Executive Director for Renewable Energy Farmers of America, Jeff Risley. Jeff, thanks for joining us on Agriculture of America today, and we'll look forward to talking again real soon. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jesse.
And again, go online, renewableenergyfarmers.org, for more. Coming up next, we're going to get an update on some of the latest news from the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. Their program manager, Tillman White, joins us for a conversation next. AOA, Agriculture of America.
You got to dip your chicken strips. Hey, this is Keani.
And this is Tabitha.
And a little thing we love about Chick-fil-A chicken strips
is all the different sauces we can dip them in. I like to line up all my favorite sauces so that in every bite, I have a different flavor. Then with the tenderness of the chicken, the juiciness of it, it's all there.
And for me, I like to mix my sauces so I get a little tang and I get a little sweetness all in one bite.
That's what makes it for me. Like, that's what does it for me.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
It's time for a new episode of Field Forward, brought to you by Pioneer. We're joined by Jason McVicker, Pioneer field agronomist, to learn about Vorceed Enlist corn. Jason, first off, tell us about your role as a Pioneer field agronomist in Northern Illinois.
So I've been in the industry a little over 30 years, spent a good chunk of that in ag retail. Always dreamt of the opportunity of joining the Pioneer team. So I truly am in my dream job. Get the opportunity to work with some top-notch sales reps.
Let's talk about how the corn has been looking in your area so far this season. How are things shaping up?
Well, without a doubt, we had our fair share of challenges on some of the early planted stuff. But all in all, once Mother Nature decided to play nice, provide some GDUs, some sunshine, it's amazing what this crop has done.
Well, Jason, what does Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn offer farmers?
As we take a look at Vorseed Enlist, this brings a totally new level of yield protection and flexibility, but it also is bringing us some solid agronomics. So yield, obviously, that's key, but we got additional protection with three modes of action to control pests above ground and three below ground to control those challenging corn rootworm situations since we raise a lot of corn on corn.
And how has the Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist performed in your area this growing season?
It's really been outstanding with the plots and the experiences that the growers had in Northern Illinois. They definitely appreciated what it brought to the table. The yield was there and it greatly reduced the amount of adults. And if we reduce the amount of adults, we have less eggs that potentially could hatch and start feeding on our corn roots.
How can folks learn more?
I highly encourage you to reach out to your local Pioneer sales representative. And then the other easy way is to get on to pioneer.com.
Learn more online at pioneer.com.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, y'all. Eli Winders here. I want to take a minute to talk to you about something close to my heart. There are thousands of animals out there waiting for someone just like you to come along and change their lives. Don't worry if you think you might not be the perfect match. There are shelters and rescue organizations full of folks ready to help find the right pet for you. Visit your local shelter or check out online rescue groups today. You never know. Your new best friend might be waiting for you. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Let's get caught up on some of the latest news from the Cotton Trust Protocol. Joining us now, Program Manager Tillman White. Tillman, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us. Hope all is well.
Yeah, doing good, Jesse. Thanks for having me again.
Let's get caught up on some of the latest growth just overall with the Cotton Trust Protocol as we work through the sixth year of enrollment and more. What's some of the latest news that you could share with us?
Yes, good question, Jesse. So for the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol, we just wrapped up our 2025 enrollment where we saw an expansion in both planted cotton acres and enrolled growers. So from the enrollment period, we captured around 2.58 million planted cotton acres across the Cotton Belt for the upcoming 25 crop, which was around an 18% increase from the previous year. And as far as the grower membership, we now have representation across the Cotton Belt for around 1,512 cotton growers, which is also around a 14% increase from the 2024 year.
Well, I wonder, Tillman, there's been, of course, plenty of economic challenges for cotton producers. You know, think about growing conditions, too. There's been some issues there. How are things like that affecting the growth of acres enrolled here as we go through 2025 and look back at last year, et cetera?
Absolutely. Great question. And that's something we continue to monitor at the Trust Protocol is looking at our current membership, but also the upcoming membership and examining those acres. But from what I just mentioned, that growth, it's really encouraging to see, and it really underscores the program's increasing value that we see that it's offering U.S. cotton farmers. To your point, especially in today's challenging environment with the fluctuating input costs, the changing weather conditions, and obviously the evolving market conditions. And the consistent increase highlights the value growers find in our program, as they're looking for different opportunities to enhance their resilience in the face of those particular challenges.
Well, if folks want to get involved, let's talk about how they can enroll in the Trust Protocol before we talk about a few of your industry partners and some new news there. So if folks want to learn more, how can they enroll in the Trust Protocol?
Yes, of course. So for growers that are not familiar with the Trust Protocol, we're a voluntary sustainability program and traceability platform for all U.S. cotton. And by participating in the Trust Protocol, growers receive actionable data-driven insights that help them understand their environmental footprint, optimize farming practices, and hopefully improve overall efficiency. And by being a member of the Trust Protocol, it allows those growers to demonstrate their commitment to responsible practices through measurement and verification. And if growers would like to get involved within the Trust Protocol, our upcoming grower enrollment is coming up this January for the 2026 crop year.
Let's talk about, I know, a new partnership. One of the newest members of the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol is Strauss. Can you tell us about that partnership?
Yes. So as of recently, in the last, you know, month or so, we've had a new member, which is Engelbert Strauss. They're a leader in workwear and protective clothing. And they're, again, the latest member to join the Trust Protocol. And the membership for Strauss being in the Trust Protocol is just a commitment to responsible sourcing and highlights the growing importance of supply chain transparency for these global brands, particularly within the workwear sector. And through their participation in our program, Strauss will gain access to data and tools, equipping them to measure and improve their environmental impact, while also addressing the increasing demand for responsibly grown cotton within the specialized workwear sector.
Now, with a company like Strauss and other members that have been with the Trust Protocol for some time, how do they help elevate this program overall, Tillman?
Yeah, great question, Jesse. So by integrating within the Trust Protocol's traceability platform, Strauss and other brand members gain visibility into the journey of U.S. cotton and protocol cotton within their supply chain. So it further strengthens Strauss's sustainability framework, which is designed to embed more responsibly and ecological practices through their entire value chain, from the initial raw material to the final product. And this includes actively supporting growers in cultivating responsibly grown cotton, ensuring that the core components of their high-performance workwear align with stringent environmental and social benchmarks. And finally, through their membership, Strauss is also able to include on-product marketing and directly engage with customers with products made from U.S. cotton that's verified by the Trust Protocol.
Well, Tillman, appreciate the insights and conversation here. Anything else final you would want to share with folks about what's going on with the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol?
Well, again, for those that are not familiar, whether you're a grower or just an industry member or even a customer of U.S. Cotton, I would implore you to go to our website, which is www.trustuscotton.org. There you can see all of our members and kind of what we're doing today at the Trust Protocol. And if you have any questions, you can reach us at www.info@trustuscotton.org.
Always appreciate the insight, and I would encourage folks as well, go to that website, trustuscotton.org, for more information. With that, Tillman White, Program Manager for the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. Good to talk with you again, Tillman. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Really appreciate it.
Thanks as always, Jesse.
You bet. Once again, Tillman White with the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol joining us here on Agriculture of America. With that, we are out of time today on AOA. Coming up on our next program, we're going to discuss some of the rumors out there about a potential major railroad merger between the Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern. Mike Steenhoek with the Soy Transportation Coalition will join us to discuss the potential impacts for farmers, ranchers, and rural America. We'll hear from South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson. We're going to take a look at the rate of farm bankruptcies in 2025. New research out from Ryan Loy with the University of Arkansas. And we're going to get an update on the Trump administration abolishing an Obama-era speed limiter rule for semi-trucks with Louis Pugh from OIDA, the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. All that coming up on the next AOA. For now, thanks as always for joining us here for Agriculture of America. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Get on board.
The water is open. It's time to go boating and fishing and leave stress in our wake. Feel the wind as we ride and a fish on the line. Reel in our first catch and feel the sun at our backs. It's get out on the water season. It's time to get on board. Find out where to get on board near you. Visit Take Me Fishing and Discover Boating to learn more. And please recreate responsibly.
Get on board. Get on board.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
With macular degeneration...
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Seems like back to school happens earlier each year.
First day of school coming in hot.
And this year my kids had massive supply lists.
Folders, notebooks, and pens. Oh, the humanity.
But Staples had everything I needed, with some items just 25 cents.
Watch the small print.
No. My back to school budget was saved by Staples Easy Button.
Everything for school. In stock and as low as 25 cents. Staples.
That was easy.
In store, online, and on the app. In sync 23 while supplies last.
Hey, listen to this. All I needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
Yeah, for me, it's the little things. Like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed.
From small fixes to big upgrades, eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3.